Hey, I'm Francis Lam, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini-podcast about the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. For the next few months, I get a little out of hand at the farmer's market. I buy too much of this and too many kinds of that, and I come home with bags just full of fruits and vegetables that I don't really know what I'm going to do with. And that's okay, or that's what I tell myself anyway, and it gives me a bunch of stuff to play with when I get home from work. But Andy Schloss has a different idea for what to do with overfull bags of strawberries and bell peppers and fennel and herbs. Put them in your liquor cabinet. He's the author of Homemade Liqueurs and Infused Spirits, and he talked with Noel Carter about transforming fruits and vegetables into delicious liqueurs, just in time for porch sitting season. Have a listen.
Andrew, it's so great to talk to you.
Hello, it's a pleasure talking to you too.
You talk about the rise of home brewing and home winemaking and how that's kind of given rise to homemade liqueurs. And the thing that's so cool about homemade liqueurs is that they're so much easier than homemade beer or wine and that you don't need any special equipment or ingredients.
That's exactly right. The other thing about them is you get really clean flavors because the liquor you're using is already distilled since home distillation is not legal in the U.S., you're getting really fresh flavors. So if I take strawberries and I make strawberry wine out of it, it doesn't really taste a lot like strawberry anymore. But if I take those strawberries and infuse them into some vodka with a little bit of sugar, I get this really fresh, authentic strawberry flavor.
And this comes together, you know, within a week, whether or not you've got something that's really good.
Absolutely. You don't have to take months to ferment and to age something, because as soon as the flavors from the fruit or herb or vegetable or whatever you're infusing are into the alcohol, it's done. So it depends on what you're infusing. If I'm doing something really pungent like a black pepper liqueur or a horseradish liqueur, that's going to infuse into the alcohol in about an hour or two. If I'm doing something like fresh strawberries, that might take 5 days. If I'm doing something like dried peaches, that might take 3 days because the peaches are dried, so they're more concentrated.
You know, when I think of homemade liqueurs or when I think of liqueurs in general, I always tended to think of them as something that you would enjoy on a chilly evening, something more winter oriented. But so many of the recipes in your book are seasonal and that they call for, you know, fresh fruits or vegetables. And so it's amazing how many of these liqueurs are perfect for summer.
Absolutely. The thing about old-style liqueurs is liqueurs started as medicinals, and they were frequently recipes that had 60, 80 ingredients in them, very complex combinations of flavors, and they were highly sugared to make them sort of syrupy. And I think that's why we associate them with cooler weathers or heartier kind of things. But the fact is that when I'm tincturing anything into alcohol, I can get a really fresh flavor, and I can also control the sugar. I don't need a lot of sugar to make the flavors of the fruit or the herb or the vegetable come out. Alcohol has this amazing ability to bond onto other molecules. So if I'm cooking with, let's say, I don't know, garlic, and I sauté it, I'm going to get this pungent garlic flavor because that flavor is an aroma. And aromas are only perceived through oil in the nose. If I boil that garlic, I'm going to get more sweetness because the sugar in it is going to come out, and I don't have an oil that will carry the garlic flavor into my system, so I don't perceive it. If I put that garlic into alcohol, both the sugar and the garlicky aromas get attached to the alcohol, so I get this full-bodied flavor all at once.
Wow. You have a couple of cocktails that seem perfect for the season. I recently tried your grapefruit tonic, and it was amazing.
Grapefruit's one of my favorite citruses. And one of the things I like in citrus fruit is the flavor of the peel. The peel contains bitter alkaloids that are healthy for you. And I'm a big fan of bitterness when it is counteracted with all the other mouth flavors, with sour and sweet and salty. So I work with bitterness a lot. I think it's sort of an interesting thing. And grapefruit is one of the only citruses that still retains some bitterness in its peel. So when you put grapefruit peel into vodka or any kind of alcohol, you're going to get a little bit of bitterness to it. And tonics are also a bitter, helpful beverage. And they are made from cinchona bark, which has a lot of these alkaloids in it. So I combine the bitterness of the grapefruit, the bitterness of the cinchona, and put it into vodka, and then just let it sit for about a week. You get this really tangy, fruity, bitter, sweet thing. Oh, it's sweet. I forgot the sugar. You put some sugar in there, too, to get some sweetness. And you get this liqueur that all you have to do is add a spark of seltzer to it, and you get the citrusy gin and tonic when you're done.
It just sounds amazing. You also have a bunch of, I'm a big strawberry fan, and you have a few really, really tempting strawberry liqueur recipes. Do you have a favorite?
The one that I like the best are the straightforward ones. So there's one called In Praise of Phrase, which is just some strawberries, simple syrup, and vodka. And they're just put together. They sit together for about a week. You strain it out, and you get this elixir, this liquid that is the pure essence of strawberries. So if you have like ripe strawberries right now, you put them mm-hmm. into vodka, all of that ripe flavor goes into the alcohol and stays there. So a year later, it's still there as if you just picked that strawberry.
And these recipes, so many of them are so simple. They only call for a few ingredients. You can make a run to your regular grocery store and you've got the makings of a great gift or a great cocktail idea for summer entertaining.
Yeah, they're beautiful, too. Like the strawberry one we were just talking about is this gorgeous ruby color, because the color also gets trapped by the alcohol. So it's like no work, and you have this amazing tasting and looking thing.
So I'm curious, when you think homemade liqueurs or infusing alcohols, I've always thought of using a neutral spirit, you know, something like, say, a vodka. But so many of the recipes that you use call for richer liquors like brandies, or you even use wines in some of the recipes.
You want the neutral spirit when you don't want to have any other flavors there other than the solid ingredient that you're infusing into the liqueur. But because you're starting with distilled alcohols, you have a big array of products that you can use and use the flavors that are inherent in those products. So when I make apple liqueurs, I frequently use a cognac or a bourbon because the caramely flavors in those brown liquors work very well with apple and pear and cinnamon flavors, like if I'm doing herbal or spicy liqueurs, that starting with a brown liqueur gives you sort of that head start. And you also have that vanilla flavor from the aging in wood. And so I'll just think about what flavors go with this solid ingredient I'm trying to work with and play with it. The weirdest one, I did like a corn liqueur with bourbon.
Wow.
And you get this sweet vegetal thing, and some starch starts to come into it. So it gets a little bit creamy without using dairy. That was sort of an interesting thing. Tequilas are amazing with vegetable flavors. So I do a lot of bell pepper and chili pepper and fennel and that kind of thing with tequila. Rum is wonderful with tropical fruits like mango and pineapple and those kind of flavors. I'll also use vermouth to balance, usually with a neutral spirit, vodka, or sometimes with gin, because gin has a lot of botanicals in it. If I'm doing herbal liqueurs, I'll frequently put a little bit of vermouth in there to accentuate that herbalness.
Well, Andrew, I really want to thank you so much. This was so much fun and fascinating.
It was a pleasure.
That was chef and writer Noelle Carter with teacher, food writer, and cookbook author Andy Schloss. Andy wrote a book called Homemade Liqueurs and Infused Spirits, and he shared some recipes with us at splendidtable.org. That's what we have for today. We hope you enjoyed what you heard, and if you did, please take a moment and leave us a review. We'll be back in your podcast queue soon. And until then, have a great 4th of July. And thanks for listening. I'm Francis Lamb.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.